Calls for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Do you use prepaid phone cards? What are some things to consider before making the purchase? Have you ever been the victim of cramming? Are you sure? This scam often goes undetected. We're going to talk about these issues and a whole big lot more. My guest is Joel Guerin. He's the chief of the Consumer and Governmental Affairs Bureau of the Federal Communications Commission. And the commission is involved in a number of consumer initiatives. And I think it's going to be very interesting. Joel, welcome back. It's nice to see you.
Good to see you too, Shirley.
Now, we have, I talked about the prepaid phone cards, and I know they're very popular. A lot of people use them. But what is the profile of people who typically use a prepaid phone card?
A lot of the people who use prepaid cards are low income. A lot of them are immigrants. They are people who really cannot afford to lose a lot of money on cards that do not deliver what they promise.
And that can be a potential problem, right?
It can be a huge problem.
Yeah.
Our Enforcement Bureau actually just proposed fees of around $20 million for forfeitures of around $20 million for companies that have been engaged in what really are not appropriate kinds of practices. I mean, just to give you an example, there's some cards where we found that even though they promise that you will get about 13 hours worth of minutes, you actually have to use all of those in one 13-hour call if you want to actually take advantage of that.
That's ridiculous.
Which most people are not going to do. There are other cases where a card said it would offer 1,000 minutes, and after one 60-minute call, it was done. So there's a lot of fine print. There's a lot of hidden conditions. There's a lot of stuff that is very, very easy for people to miss, particularly if you're not a native English speaker.
Sure.
And people are really being taken advantage of.
I mean, you know, I have to confess, do you always read the fine print? I'm not sure that I do. I scan it. But it would be so easy to miss some little clause in there that's going to cost you a lot of money.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why we consider these practices to be the term we use is that they are unreasonable and they're unfair practices. And that's why we take action.
At least if you set up front, right up front, in clear, understandable language, that these are the things that are going to cause you to lose money with this card. Of course, they'd never sell it, would they?
If it said in large print, 13 hours must be used on a single call, then it would be more fair, but I don't think that's part of their business model.
It's not going to happen. You're absolutely right. All right, let's talk about you all. I know this has been a big concern with the FCC, and you're doing a lot on it, and not only congratulations on finding this was more than one company?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
okay.
Several.
Now, will that money be returned to consumers, or will you use it for further enforcement? What happens to the funds?
Those funds do not. We can't track back every consumer.
Yeah, it would be very hard.
But I will say that one of the things that's very important for people to know, we really urge people to call our complaint line if they have this problem or any other kind of problem with a communication service.
Let's give them the information.
The easiest way is either to go on our website, which is fcc.gov, and you'll see how to file a complaint, or you can call us at 1-888-CALL-FCC, C-A-L-L-F-C-C.
That couldn't be any easier. Even I can remember that.
We try to make it as easy as possible, and we get thousands and thousands of consumer complaints every year. Now, one thing that – and in a case like prepaid cards, that's one of the ways that we find out if there are bad actors out there. Really, with any kind of consumer problem, these complaints are very important for us to track.
But the thing about your agency, you not only take this information, you act on it. Because I know we get good feedback from consumers that we send to the FCC because there's some issue that they have where they really need to go to your organization. And I think the Complaint Bureau comes under your purview, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yes.
It's part of our bureau. And you're absolutely right. One of the things that we pride ourselves on is we have about 50 or 60 people now who are specialized in helping consumers get satisfaction. We always say you have to go to your service provider first. We really urge people to try to work it out with them. But if they can't, then we urge them to come to us. And we will mediate between consumers and the service providers and try to get to a point where the consumers are satisfied that they've been treated fairly.
And you have a lot of power. and you can use that power judiciously. I always say, don't get mad, get even.
That probably is
a little harsh.
The complaints we get from consumers are really our window into what's happening out there.
Sure.
And it's extremely important for people to let us know what they're experiencing. That way we can really take action where it's warranted.
All right, let's just give this information. You can file your complaint online at FCC.gov. It's very clear. It's a very good website. Or you can call 1-888-CALL-FCC. And that's a very easy way for people to get in touch with you. Are there hours in which they can call?
It's regular business hours are the best. The website, of course, is open
24/7. It'll tell you. Sure. Yeah. Okay. They'll get a message at any rate if the office is not open. But
of course,
you can call during a regular business day, 1-888-CALL-FCC. And I do think that it's very important for consumers to realize how important it is to complain about these things, because that's the way you develop your profile of bad companies. So,
yeah.
And you help them too.
Or in some cases, they're good companies who are just doing one or two things that are
sure.
not so great.
Sure,
yeah.
That's very fair. Okay. What else about prepaid phone cards? You need to read them. You need to understand them. If you don't understand the fine print, don't buy it.
Yes, that's right. And other things like, you know, take a look, see if there is actually a contact customer service number. See if, the other kinds of things that you would look at in any purchase that give you a clue that this is a legitimate purchase or not. I think reading the fine print, reading the conditions, and if there's too much fine print to read, then maybe that's not a card you want to buy.
Right. And the other thing I would say to consumers is don't take the salesperson's word for it. Make sure it's in the print that you're reading, because that's what's binding on you.
That's correct. The salesperson may not even know. You buy these at convenience stores. They may not have the information that they would need to advise you, actually.
Mm-hmm. Do you put up information on your website about the companies that have created problems? Can consumers go find out if they...
We generally have not done that, but we do have a lot of information cards, but on all kinds of consumer issues. We have a lot of information on how to protect yourself.
But you do have information up there on the companies that you've taken action against.
Yeah, that's all public.
Yeah, so consumers can see that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know, I think this whole business of prepaid phone cards, and what makes me so angry is because they are ripping off a segment of the population that can least afford it.
That's right.
And as you pointed out earlier, the issue of English being a second language can also be difficult for the consumer to figure out what is going on in those contracts.
That's right. And one of the things that we also do, and this is part of what the Consumer Bureau does as well, is, you know, our Enforcement Bureau, which is another part of the agency, will take action against these companies. But we are planning ways to do outreach to communities that are most affected by this
most
problem.
And
really try to help people understand what's going on.
Well, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Joel Gurin. He is the chief of the Consumer and Governmental Affairs Bureau of the Federal Communications Commission. And we're talking about issues before the commission, some of the consumer things that they're doing, some of the consumer initiatives. Their website is fcc.gov. There's a ton of information there. You also have a website for kids. I go there and play games, and that meteor destroys me every time. I've got to get up on my skills anyway. And the phone number, if you have a complaint that has to do with communications, your phone or whatever, 1-888-CALL-FCC. All right, Joel, going back to some of the other issues that are before the commission, one of the big things, and cramming has been going on forever. Tell us what cramming is.
Sure. Cramming is what happens when an unauthorized charge shows up on your phone bill. Often these are from third parties. Some of the examples we've seen include companies that are purporting to offer long-distance service when you really don't need it because it's already covered by your regular carrier. Companies that offer anything from horoscopes to diet plans and so on. Now, the way this is supposed to work is that a company selling a service like this has to get your actual formal authorization to be charged, and then it would be legal for them to put this charge on your phone. It would be okay for them to put the charge on your phone. What we've found, however, is that in many cases, the so-called authorization really doesn't happen at all. We've had cases, and again, consumer complaints give us a lot of insight into this. We've had cases where people have said, you know, I got in touch with the company. They said I had authorized it online. That's really interesting because I actually don't own a computer. Or they sent
me.
Or they sent me a copy of the authorization letter that they said I had, I had used. It had somebody else's name, somebody else's email, somebody else's address. Other than that, it was perfectly accurate. So, there is a lot of shady dealings here by these third parties. And what we've also found is the way that they can get away with it is that most people really don't read their phone bills carefully. One survey that was done for the Federal Trade Commission, which also works in this area, showed that only about 5% of people who had experienced cramming were aware of it and caught it. And you can run up, sometimes these charges are $1.99 a month, sometimes they're $19.99. You can easily run up hundreds of dollars before you catch the
problem. That is so important to read those bills and to know what the charges are. And this is the same thing as credit cards, because credit cards are subject to cramming as well, where it actually involves credit card fraud sometimes, or sometimes it's companies you've done business with and they decide they're going to keep billing you for services, whether you get it or not. So this can happen.
And so we're now trying to take steps that would really make it easier for consumers themselves to prevent and detect cramming when it's going on. So we have proposed rules, which if people have opinions on these, anyone can now go to our website and click where it says file a comment and comment on them. But our proposed rules would do several things. They would require wireline, landline phone companies to be more clear in how they separate out and label these third-party charges so that they jump out at you rather than just being one of, you know, a whole long list.
I think that's an excellent idea, because that's one of the problems. You look at your phone bill and you just kind of go, must be right, and pay it.
That's right. So this would really make it easier for people who are aware of the problem to spot it. We also, under these proposed rules, these companies would put our FCC complaint information on every bill, which we think would be useful to consumers. And the other thing that we think is very a very good consumer tool here is the option to simply block third-party charges. Now, this is a place where landline phones and wireless phones are different. Wireless phones, there are a number of third-party charges that may really be legitimate. People order ringtones, they order different kinds of services, particularly with smartphones. And we've asked in addition to proposing rules, we've asked in that same proceeding whether we should look at wireless as an area where the commission should take some action against cramming. But for now, you know, we do think there are enough legitimate uses of third-party charges that we're really investigating that further. On the other hand, with landline phones, there are very, very few third-party charges that really are legitimate. So what some states have done, Vermont has taken the lead here, is they've passed state laws simply banning third-party charges being put on landline phones. And one of the things we're asking also is whether people think that's something that we should propose. In the meantime, however, even without a ban like that, many phone companies will allow you to block third-party charges. Mm-hmm. The problem is that they won't tell you that until you call and complain that you've been crammed. So one of our proposed rules would be that they would have to tell their customers that they have that option right up front.
Right. Yeah, I think the ability to block it is a great one. I mean, you know, some people like me, I occasionally use it to call if I'm trying to cheat on a crossword puzzle. You know, but I know I'm incurring a charge, and the paper says it right there.
And that's not cheating anyway. That's just access. That's information.
Well, now I find I can usually get all the answers on the computer.
that also works.
Exactly. What the heck? It's knowledge, isn't it?
It's all knowledge. It's all knowledge.
But at any rate, it is something I think some people do use occasionally, and I think the steps that you're taking, which wouldn't totally remove it, but would provide information for consumers, that's going to be valuable.
Thank you, and we feel that way too. You'll see a lot of the work that we're doing now is really about putting consumers in control. We are all about giving consumers information and in some cases, setting rules that require companies to give them information that help us all control what we buy, how we use it, and ensure that we're getting a fair deal.
Well, you've just taken action against a number of companies recently against Gramming as well.
That's also true, yes. Our Enforcement Bureau, in that case, I think it was more than $11 million in proposed forfeitures. And by the way, you had asked before, the money from those forfeitures does go directly to the U.S. Treasury.
Okay.
That was strong action on the part of the Enforcement Bureau, and it really goes hand in glove with the rules that our Bureau is now proposing.
Mm-hmm. And that was several companies also, I believe.
That's also true.
Yeah. Because, I mean, there was one I saw on your website, Cheap to Dial Telephone.
Yes.
You fine them $3 million.
Correct.
You call it a forfeiture. I call it a fine.
Yes. These are by the way, these are still proposed fines, but this
they
is...
Haven't been, they haven't ended up the money yet?
Not yet, but this is what we believe would be an appropriate fine for them.
Yeah. And that is the final decision in those cases. Those were court cases, or is there a... How do you pursue those?
Our Enforcement Bureau begins with what's called a notice of apparent liability, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of legal steps that go from there that I'm not really that versed in.
You don't need to know. You need to know the results.
I need to know the result. But simply issuing a notice of apparent liability where the commission says this was wrongdoing in our view and we believe this mm-hmm. would be an appropriate forfeiture, mm-hmm. that's a big step for us to take. It is certainly not a step we take lightly, and it's a step that shows that we've got a lot of evidence that consumers have not been well treated in that case.
And I think the whole idea of just you got to tell consumers they got to read those bills. You got to be careful. It's like with the prepaid phone cards. You got to know what you're purchasing, and you got to know what you're paying for when the bill comes in. You have to read it. You've got to understand it, and that can be difficult.
It very well can be. But our estimate now is that about 15 to 20 million Americans a year suffer cramming. So it's well worth your time to take a couple of minutes.
That's a lot of money.
Look at that bill, and if there is anything suspicious, call your carrier or call, the third party that may be listed on your bill. And if you don't get satisfaction, call 1-888-CALL-FCC.
You got it. Well, let's just take a brief pause here to let people know they're listening to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Joel Guerin. He is the chief of the Consumer and Governmental Affairs Bureau of the Federal Communications Commission. And we're talking about all kinds of consumer issues. And your FCC website, the FCC.gov website, has just a ton of information on all kinds of issues. And as I said, I'm in love with the kitty part. It really is cute, and it's educational as well. But at any rate, let's move on to some of the other issues in which you all are involved. And I know that one of the things, the service that you provide to consumers is a way to check to see if you're getting the broadband speed you're supposed to be getting, correct?
That is correct.
And they can go to your website and do that.
Yes, everything's on the website. There are ways to check your broadband speed. But now broadband speed is a very interesting issue, and I think it's a really important one for consumers. I mean, to begin, it is confusing to read the ads.
Yes.
for a while... I think there was one point where all the major carriers were advertising blazing fast speed, and then some of them started advertising breakneck speed. So I don't know if blazing fast is slower than breakneck or whatever. They also have advertised speeds in, up to so-and-so many megabits per second. So we felt that this was confusing to consumers. And the other thing that's confusing is that even though we think our speed test that you can get on our website will be very useful to people, that speed can be affected by a number of things, and they're not really all under the carrier's control. I mean, once that signal comes into your house on the cable or fiber or whatever it is, if you have a slow router, if you have an old computer, if there are four people in your family online mm-hmm. at one time, all of those things can slow down your service in a way that really is not the fault in any way of your service
right.
provider.
So really, you should try to make sure that at least there are not a bunch of people using the computer at the time you want to do the test, and keeping in mind, what is the age of your computer?
That's right.
And can you find out the speed of the router? You can find that out,
right? You can find that out, too. So there has been a question, though, and there's been a really open question until very recently, as to how much of slow speed is due to those factors Or is it the fact that service providers may not be delivering what they advertise? So we've just finished a year-long project, and I really want to commend the industry on this. We had an industry collaborative with the major internet service providers, all participating very, very actively in this test. And what we've done is we did the first national really scientific test of broadband speed. And the way we did this is we put hardware, little pieces of hardware that can measure speed in about 7,000 homes across the country so we could really measure the speed of the signal as it comes into your home before it goes to the router and the computer
and your kids using it
and everything else.
So that's a true measure.
It's a true measure, and the industry groups were incredibly helpful and collaborative in all of us getting together and saying, okay, what are we really going to consider a good test? So this is a test. This isn't just something the FCC went out and did. It's something the industry recognizes as a very fair test. The good news, I think, both for the industry and consumers, is that by and large, we found that they really are delivering close to those advertised speeds, which I think is quite good. Now, there are some variations. There are, you know, some variations by time of day, by company. This is also accessible on our website. We encourage people to look at it. But I think the bottom line is basically that that this is, on the whole, good service. So what that means is the next step is for people to figure out, okay, if I can rely pretty well on the advertised speed, what do I actually need? Mm-hmm. That answer is going to be very different. If you have three teenage kids who are all gamers and they all go on at the same time, which is probably like 2 in the morning, you're going to have very different needs than if you're the only person using your computer and you just do email. And what our hope is, and we're continuing to work with the same collaborative group from industry, what our hope is that we'll be able together to come up with guidelines so that people buy what they need when they need it. If somebody really needs high-speed internet, we generally, of course, the commission supports the development of high-speed internet around the country. We think it's an important national goal. But there may be some people, lower income, less computer use, where that may simply be cost prohibitive for them, but where a lower cost service would really meet their needs. So we want to help consumers really figure out what they need and buy in an informed way.
Sure, it depends on how you're going to use it, whether or not you need blazing fast or breakneck or whatever. It's a blink of an eye or less.
Or one of those very precise terms. Right.
I also want to commend the commission on the outreach that you've done to people with for people with disabilities, making devices and communication accessible to them. That's something you all are very devoted to, I believe.
Thank you. That's actually a huge area for us, and that's also part of the Consumer Bureau. We have an Office of Disability Rights. This has all been really enabled by a terrific act that Congress passed just a year ago in October 2010. It's the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act. And what Congress has done is they have asked us, or really told us, to pass a number of regulations that will increase access for people with disabilities. And we're working very closely with the other bureaus in the agency that work on wireless issues, broadcast issues, and so on. But the kinds of things we're looking at, for example, are taking captions that people now see on their TV if they're deaf or hard of hearing, and making those accessible when you go to the internet as well. There's also a technology for blind people called video description that's essentially the equivalent of what captions do for deaf people, so that if something is happening on your TV screen, you can have somebody describe in words what's going on.
Oh, that is so essential. I think a lot of lessons were learned during 9/11 about communication and where the real problems occurred.
Yes. No, exactly. And there's a whole initiative now, and we have an advisory group working on this, on emergency access to information for people with disabilities. This law was probably the most significant piece of legislation in this area since the Americans with Disabilities Act 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So we're very excited by that. We've got a very hardworking group, and they're making a lot of progress.
Well, let's just give people contact information. The website is fcc.gov, and you can find all kinds of consumer information there. You can file complaints. You can just play games. I go play games. I do love those things, and I'm so bad at them. Or the phone number to call to reach someone at the FCC to file a complaint is 1-888 call FCC. And it's a great service, and they do a wonderful job. Joel, thank you so much for being with us. It's been very enlightening, and you're to be commended on the things that you're doing for consumers.
Well, Shirley, thank you. Pleasure to be here.
My guest has been Joel Gurin. He's the chief of the Consumer and Governmental Affairs Bureau of the Federal Communications Commission. You've been listening to A Consuming Interest right here in Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker, and thank you for being with us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.